Hello?
Hey, Sam, this is Martha from WJHU Radio.
Hey, what's up, Martha? How are you doing?
Good. How are you today?
Doing good. Just loading into the Rams Head right now. What's up?
I just got a few questions for you. A lot of Baltimore stuff. Glad you're back in town. So, you guys have a huge touring schedule afterwards. What is the thing that you have to see in Baltimore while you're home for the night?
What's one of the things we have to see on tour?
Or, I don't know, I guess, like, do you have, like, a Baltimore food, or what is your Baltimore thing that you have to do while you're in town before you leave?
Oh, goodness. Well, I think the first thing I do when I get home is the more important thing, which is usually get an extra large pizza from Orioles, which is just right up the street from my house, and just eat the whole thing. It's kind of decadent, but I have to do it. Really, I don't know. I mean, I spend my time pretty easy in Baltimore. But yeah, I mean, I guess food mainstays are the real deal. Never on Sundays, one of my favorite places to eat, where it just has, like, one of the best gyros. Like, travel all over the world, and Never on Sundays, like, the gyro there is only second to the gyros that I've had in Greece and Athens. So that's saying something. But yeah.
Yeah, high praise indeed for Baltimore sandwiches. What are you looking forward to about playing tonight?
Well, I'm really excited to play with all these other bands. I mean, Tortoise is one of my favorite bands from back when I was like 15 and 16 years old. You know, Thrill Jockey has been has been one of those labels that I followed as a kid. It was an honor to be a part of that label when we first got picked up, and to be able to play with them, to be able to play with the guys from Atmos. Like, I've met those guys before, I've seen them perform, but, you know, never shared the stage, and that's really cool, as well as, like, the Arboretum guys, who are good friends, and finally meeting the Pontiac guys, and of course, Dan Friel is an old buddy from the road, you know, it's one of those things where there's a lot of friends coming together, you know, hopefully some people come out for the show.
Yeah, definitely. Another thing we wanted to ask you about is you guys have a really interesting sound. It's really cool. It's kind of ethereal, electronica a little bit. What would you say is your genre?
Our genre. We've always called what we did post-wave, just because we felt like we needed to make up our own genre term. But we've been calling ourselves that since probably 2004, before we were Future Islands. It's one of those things that stuck with us and never stuck with anybody else. as far as again stuff, and I really picked up on that. But we've been calling ourselves post-wave for years, just because we always felt like we had the punk vibe. I mean, the post is the post-punk, but just that that vibe, that rawness, but the punk aesthetic from, because when we first started, you know, we just started making music with what we had, which were old beat up Casio keyboards and borrowed amps from friends and just playing house shows and, you know, just doing it for the fun of doing it. And so we consider ourselves a punk band, even though we were very far from what a person might think a punk band was, as far as musically. And then of course the new wave is just because of more describing the sound with the keyboards and stuff. But I feel like we're not really a new wave band either, because there's a good bit of rawness, but at the same time, there's that emotionality and the theatricality, and somewhat of that glossy sheen, the synth sheen, but it's different, you know, it's a little bit rougher. So yeah, I mean, I don't know, it's hard to figure out, and I guess that's good.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think there's something really compelling about, something you can't quite put your finger on, but, it's funny that you said the word rawness, too, because everyone at the station was excited for me to do this interview, because they're like, oh, is Sam going to talk like he sings?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm really sorry I wasn't able to talk to you the other day. We were just getting on the airplane.
Oh, yeah, no, it's no worries. I totally understand. We didn't really set up a time, so it's totally fine. So, I guess, some more Baltimore questions. Is Baltimore your favorite city to play in, or do you like going somewhere else? I mean, I know our venues aren't as big as other stuff, but you guys feel like you have a following here that's really solid?
Well, you know, Baltimore is interesting. It's always interesting where you live because it's a very different thing. Baltimore is an amazing city to play, but it's also one of the toughest cities to play for the fact that, you know, this is like Baltimore and North Carolina are really the only places that I go that I get nervous beforehand. You know, sometimes I'll be on stage, mid stage of a huge show somewhere in Europe or something, and may get a little shake, but I'm never really worried about my nerves, but I always get a little bit nervous because you know you want to know that people in the city you live in care about what you do and that you're doing your best for them because you represent them. So that's, you know, that can be a challenge, and then again the challenge is nice. But you know, there's cities all over. We just did a West Coast tour and had amazing shows in Portland and San Francisco. Amazing shows in L.A., always love Chicago, New Orleans, Atlanta, Georgia, and then, of course, all over North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina, Chapel Hill, great cities, and, you know, around the world, Athens, Greece, Hell, Berlin, I don't know, there's so many cities. I mean, it's one of those things, it's kind of a tragedy sometimes, because as a musician, you get to see the world, but you only get to see like small pieces of it because you're constantly moving. You don't always have a chance to actually relax in a setting. So when you do get a day off or something, it makes all the difference and makes you kind of fall in love with these places a little bit more. And we've been lucky to be able to spend some time in some of the cities around the world, around the country.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds awesome. So I guess going back to some of the past stuff that you guys have done, you want to talk a little bit about, I think it's so interesting that you guys were once called Art Lords and Self Portraits, but now you went to Future Islands. What was the, you know, I think both of them are cool names. Future Islands is, it's like so much more compact and like snappy almost, and then you have Art Lords and Self Portraits is a little more of a mouthful, but what was the name change kind of fueled by?
Well, Art Lord was our first band in college. It really started as a performance piece that me and William, the bass of Future Islands and Art Lord, had bought up, you know, just trading ideas for a semester of college. You know, we had like three of our fine arts classes together, and it's one of those things where just like sparking. We both wanted to perform, we wanted to be in a band, and we kind of put something together and started to do something, and that became really important in our lives. Garrett was there from the beginning as well. Basically, I mean, the thing that happened with Art Lord was we lost our fourth member. He moved out of town and we, you know, the guys definitely, they wanted to keep it, you know, they didn't want to continue on without, our friend. So we just pretty much just changed the game, changed the name, stopped playing, you know, we completely stopped playing those songs, from our past catalog, even though, you know, there's, I don't know, 50-60 songs probably that we wrote in that first 3 years, you know, because we were just going. But yeah, a lot of it was just, I think, you know, we had that feeling too, like this was our band we did in college, and, you know, we're coming out of college now, or we're dropping out of college as I did around that. And you know, we're like, well, let's start fresh with what we know and go from here. So that's, I mean, it was really just a matter of necessity and what we felt was right.
Cool. So, you mentioned like dropping out of college to, join the band, go touring and do stuff like that. But, so was being in a band and a professional musician something you always wanted to do, or is it something that sort of came around in college that you ended up following through with?
No, I mean, it was definitely something probably a couple years out of college when I realized that I wanted to be a musician. You know, at that point I was living in Asheville, North Carolina, and I just moved there January 2007. The next year I'd be in Baltimore in January 2008, but in January 2007 I moved to Asheville. I was far away from the guys, and it was kind of in a creative drought. I'm trying to put my life back together. I was only 22, about to be 23 at the time, but I kind of realized that, you know, a lot of the chances that I had as far as school, what I believed I wanted to do when I went off to school, has kind of I don't want to say, well, some of them have kind of been stepped on, just like those ideas of thinking that I was going to be this great artist or something, or that I was going to be an artist, and then dropping out of school, realizing that I wasn't an artist, at least in the sense that I wanted to be someone, you know, at least back there, I believe that the true artist was one that just couldn't help but create, person who was just so driven that they're always creating. And I found myself, you know, falling in love with performance art in a way that I just wanted the, I wasn't going for the process of creation. I was just going for the audience response. And that kind of bummed me out a bit. It took away my patience with the pencil, and made me kind of reevaluate. And at the same time, music was coming around, started to play shows. I really fell in love with that, with, you know, being able to put my words in motion, to get them out to people, and put it all inside of a package. I mean, you know, in a way, music is one of the easiest arts for that reason, that you can, you know, you can travel with it. You can go anywhere you want with it. You know, you can travel the world with just a guitar on your back if you want to, that's what you want to do, play on the streets, do what you need to do. But at that point in my life, I had been out of school for about 2 years. I had no job. I had no money. And I was kind of restarting my life over again. I realized that the only thing that had been a constant in my life for a good period of time was music. And one of the only things that I enjoyed and took joy in was music and performance. And so that's when I kind of dedicated myself to, like, this is what I want to do. But you know, it was through a long trial and error and much failure, and making bad decisions, taking huge risks, putting myself in dangerous positions, and then somehow surviving, and then coming out on the other side. Music is what I have. So that's what we've been doing ever since.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have come out on the other side. And when you talk about creating, like recording your guys' music, I know that you recorded Feathers and Hallways in the studio in Oakland, but in the Evening Air, you recorded here in Baltimore out of your house. How was the experience a lot different when you're recording like in your home than in a studio, or how did that affect the albums?
Well, we never actually recorded in a real studio any of our albums or recordings. But when we recorded in Oakland, we were recording in this warehouse space that some friends of ours lived at. It's actually Aaron Gleason and Drew Swinburne's house from the program Show Beast. Ben O'Brien, I guess Ben O'Brien was living out there too. So it's a number of people that live in Baltimore now. We're living in a warehouse space out in Oakland, and we were traveling through, crashed at the house, and then recorded a 7-inch with Chester. Chester was living there over the summer, our producer. But the recording process in the house was one of the tougher experiences, just because, you know, it was in me and Wayne's house, and we weren't able to, like, escape that work environment. And I think that's, for me, the idea of being in a real studio is somewhat off-putting, because, you know, when you're in that setting, I feel like it, I've been in that setting before, and it just feels like work. You know, it feels like something heavy surrounding you. You know, when you're in a house or a well-lived-in space, I think you feel more at ease to kind of be yourself. Like, you can walk out the back door and have a cigarette, or sit on the front porch, or take a little walk. You know, it's a little different when you're in a hard studio. But like I said, we've never really had. It's funny. The only album that three of us have ever recorded in the studio was the very first Art Lord album in the summer of 2003. and that was, or at least the last thing that we recorded and like released was from 9 years ago. So I think that says a lot about, you know, but it was that experience that led us to realize that we could record on our own. You know, we took that experience of recording, you know, we just finished our freshman years of college. You went up to Milwaukee, Wisconsin to record this album with an old friend of our other bandmate. And then when we went home, we said, hey, let's get a four track, and do this ourselves. Like, William and Garrett both had experience doing solo recordings with four tracks. So we just started setting things up, and that kind of led to just learning more and more about that, and then working with Chester, who had that same DIY aesthetic as far as using rooms and using a portable studio to capture sound and capture music. And he's really been a big part of that that growth for us as Future Islands over the last three albums, over the last, you know, four and a half years, I guess. We've been working with him for a while, 5 years, maybe.
Wow, cool. So, I think that definitely the sort of DIY aesthetic comes over in a lot of the music, and like the video for Tin Man, is that filmed in like somebody's house? That seems it's really cool. If any of you guys haven't seen it, it's like really cool, kind of sepia toned, almost home videos of people hanging out.
That's just our good friend Jay Bume. He was using a Super 8 to shoot that. Just an old camera. So he shot that video with two or three different cameras with different grades. Was kind of able to blend them together. He did a really beautiful job of that. It was his idea to kind of take us to places that were really meaningful to us, and we went about putting it together where we picked him and his assistant, Bridget, up in New York, and we drove down to North Carolina and, went to my hometown, went to where me and Garrett grew up, went to William's hometown, and played a show in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and also hung out in Greenville, where we went to college. And that's where those scenes are of a house party, which was an actual house party after a show. Not our show, but it was just a bunch of friends, and Jay kind of snuck in with the camera and started shooting people, getting sneaky. So
the firework actually happened?
The fireworks actually happened. That is our good friend and our crazy friend, Harris, who shot those and was wearing that silly bird suit. Yes, that actually happened. He scared the hell out of me.
Wow. Ugh. It's a great video. It really came together. So you guys have some really cool shows coming up, really full tour schedule. You're going to be at Free Fest. Are you excited about that?
Oh yeah, man. I'm really excited about playing with ZZ Top. That's the main gig for me. I'm psyched about ZZ Top.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Sharp dressed man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for
every,
sure.
Every girl's crazy about a sharp dressed man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is the concert festival setting just incredible to be around so many different musicians, like for such a long period of time, so many people hanging out?
Or do what now? I'm sorry, I missed the question.
Sorry, just that the, you know, concert, like tonight you're playing with a bunch of bands and sharing the stage, but when you're at a concert festival, it's kind of like an all-day thing. Must be so many people coming in and out, so many different bands that you don't usually get to see.
Yeah, it can be difficult at a festival. Like, you don't really get to meet other bands, especially the bigger bands, and you don't always get to see everything. I mean, I think that'll be... I've never actually been to Virgin Free Fest, so I don't know how it's all set up, but hopefully we get a chance. I mean, I feel like we're going to be on pretty early today. I'm really excited about seeing Nas, too, just for experience. And, you know, it's always cool to see how other people do it. You know, we're just coming into bigger stages ourselves, so to be able to see some people who have been there for a while, or people that are just at or have been at that level for the last few years is really cool to see, like, what they do, how they elevate their show or how they are as performers. I mean, it's all really interesting to me. I can be very judgmental of front men or front people, I should say. And that's, you know, it's good. It's fun to see how people do what they do, you know, and take that into account, say, you know, like, just to see how it... compares to what you do, not in a positive or negative way, but just like, you know, how do people carry themselves on stage? Like what makes them strong? What makes them weak? And how is it effective is interesting for me.
That's cool. That sounds like a, there's so much going on there and so much to take away from that as a musician and as a music fan. We're actually hoping to go up there and do some coverage for WJHU. Do you think there's any way you might be able to hook us up with some press passes?
The Shutter Man?
To Free Fest.
Oh, to the Free Fest. Do you have my email address?
No, I don't. I can take that down for you, from you, though, and I cut it out of the interview, so...
You just text me a second ago, is that 520 number?
Yeah.
Well, here, after we get off the phone, I'll text you my email address. You write me an email, and I'll send it to our agent and try to get you guys some passes. I'll see what I can do, at least.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for talking to me today, though. I think this is really cool. Our listeners are really going to appreciate it. I really appreciate it.